Good afternoon, church. What a lovely day it is out here in the city of Liverpool, and you're welcome to today's service. We are glad that you're here. We are so happy to have you worshiping with us. For those who are worshiping with us from outside of Liverpool, in the UK, outside of UK, all over the world, those who will be watching later, we say welcome. This evening, Pastor is not around, and we just want to say thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. He's asked me to help to teach today. We love you, Pastor Fola and Pastor Wura. We pray that God would uphold you, and even as we enter into a new season, that God will sustain you in Jesus' name. Welcome everyone to the month of June. It's so lovely to see everyone, and welcome to another time, a communion service, and another time in the presence of God. This evening, I will be doing like a quick introduction before we have the communion into the theme for June: eternity, God's time and seasons. Eternity, God's time and seasons. And we're going to be looking at some of the laying the foundations before Pastor comes back to actually take us fully into the month. Before we start, I'll just quickly say a word of prayer. Father Lord, it's your word, and the people are your people. You have made a plan ahead of time to communicate a word to someone today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak today in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, let no prejudice from me be heard, but oh Lord, let only life be encountered in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, let everyone who hears today, let their hearing be opened, that they can hear and hear onto a place of understanding in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, even today, as we enter into a new month, as we are talking about this new topic, Lord, we pray that people would enter into a new season for good in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, that the entrance of your word will bring light and transformation to someone out there listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So good evening once again, and yes, we would have a very quick one. We'll just share the word of God and pray that everyone will be blessed. I'm going to be reading from the theme verse for this month, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verse 1, and I'll take it up to verse 11. And then I will read Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 14 to 21. And then I'll take a couple of more Bible verses, and then we'll go into the word. The word of the Lord is life, is living, and is active. And as we read, I pray that God would, the Holy Spirit will open up our eyes of understanding. The Holy Spirit will open our ears to hear even further, much more than what I am saying in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every matter under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What benefit is there for the worker from that in which he labors? Verse 10, I have seen the task which God has given the sons of mankind with which to occupy themselves. And then verse 11, He has made everything appropriate in its time, and he has set eternity in their heart. without the possibility that mankind will find out the work which God has done from the beginning, even to the end. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. This is a very key verse. And before we start to talk about this, I just want us to read from Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 14 to 21. For this reason, it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, this verse, Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 14, just summarizes the theme that God gave us at the beginning of the year in Isaiah chapter 16, which is like, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." So it says, "For this reason, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Verse 15, please. Thank you. "So then, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, in which there's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." I think we can stop at this point. "But be filled with the Spirit." And then I will take a last one, which is Ephesians chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. "I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to the skillful, for time and chance overtake them all." Amen, amen, amen. So from the theme, we are looking at three different things. It talked about eternity, and it talked about God's time and seasons. Eternity, God's time and seasons. So like we normally do, we go on to have a quick look at what eternity is, what time is, what seasons are. Some of the definitions I picked up, it said eternity is infinite or an unending time, a state to which time has no application, or which you can refer to as timelessness. That it's also called endless life after death, a duration without beginning or end. And we understand the fact that God dwells in eternity. And eternity is where we would go to once we leave this earth. And that can be maybe until eternal life, where we live with God, or to eternal damnation. But that's not the main focus for what we want to talk about today. Time. Time, according to the dictionary, is the measured or measurable period during which an action, the point or period when something occurs. So the measured or measurable period during which an action occurs, or the point or the period when something occurs. It can also be referred to as like a condition, like a period between two events. So you look at one event and the other one, and you say the time between those two events. You can refer to that as time. And one thing that I wrote down there is, if you look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it talked about the fact that there is an appointed time for everything under the heaven. Under the heaven, there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every matter under the heaven. Which means that you and I have an appointed time, which is limited. We understand that eternity is not limited. There's an appointed time for you and I. There's an appointed time for everything. Every single thing that you have seen, everything under the heaven, whether it's something that has life or something that does not have life, whether it's a trend or something that is not, that doesn't have a trend. So have a look at it. a government has a defined time, right from the time when the government is coming up. God has set a defined time for that government. And that time is not unlimited, is not till eternity. That means everything you see today would come to an end. Every single thing under the heavens will come to an end. And that brings us to a point where we question ourselves to say, it has been appointed. And that means somebody must have appointed it. And we understand that the person that appoints times and appoints the seasons is God. So one thing we'll just take note of, our time has been appointed. And the question is, if you have a time that has been appointed, what are you doing within that time frame that you've got, within that limited time that you've got? And then the final bit is the seasons. And the only definition I found is a season is a period of the year that is distinguished by special climatic conditions. And I also said for my own definition that a season is a period where specific events happen or take place. So our life, even though it's in a time frame which has been set by God, in within that time, we've got different seasons. And one of the key things that I realized is the fact that a season never waits for anyone. And time also does not wait for anyone. So let's take this for example. A farmer who probably fell ill at the time when it's the planting season, you understand that that spring, if it is spring or early summer when it's meant to plant, the spring is not going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so emotional about the fact that you fell ill, you couldn't plant, so I'm going to wait a bit for you. The season is moving. The season of our life also is like that, is continuously moving. And if you are unable to do something in that season, except for the mercy of God, we might completely miss God. And if you realize that if the farmer does not take advantage of the spring slash early summer season to plant, he would have nothing to reap or to harvest at the time when he's meant to be harvesting in the early autumn. And the season is not going to come around to say, oh, so sorry. So I understand that maybe the seeds did not arrive very early, or maybe the equipment packed up at the time where you wanted to start planting. If you miss that season, you have missed it, and you have to wait till when the next planting season comes. And that's how it is. Our life is time that is set by God. And each season that we are in, God set those seasons to be able to shape, form something into us, to be able to create something in us, to be able to make us, to be able to become something. And the problem is, if you are not doing what you need to do in the season that God has set, then you may miss that season. You may, in its own entirety, just miss it. The Bible talked about Esau. He said, at a point, he sought for his inheritance with weeping and with so much of tears, but he could not have it because that season for him to take care of that inheritance was already gone. He missed the time when he should have diligently taken care of his own inheritance. And at that point, when he should have done that, he sold his inheritance. So when he needed it the most, when he grew up and the inheritance was meant to be what would give direction for his generation, he could not find it. The Bible reported in Hebrews, it said he sought for it with many tears. And the funny thing is that the seasons are not emotional. The seasons are not, they are not there thinking about the emotions of the person, about how much of cry or crying. Because once you have missed that prior season that is a precursor to that season, that new season where you're in, you may miss everything unless the mercy of God intervenes. And that's why it's very important as we are setting the foundation for the knowledge of what we want to learn in June, as we are setting this foundation to understand the times and the seasons and to understand, to have an understanding of what God is saying to us in this season. It's very important to understand that we have a limited time. And one of the things I wrote down here is that we have a limited time. Our time is short, is defined, is set. It's set within this realm where we live. And what God wants to achieve is also set. When God wanted to deliver Israel, he brought about a son called Moses. But Moses had to be born at a particular point in time. He had to be trained up to a particular point in time to be able to meet up with that purpose that God wants to do. Or God wants to achieve. And the funny thing is, somebody else also has an understanding that the time is very short. And if we read from Revelation chapter 12, from verse 10 to 17, and it's very important for us to understand that in the realm, in the spiritual realm, the idea about time is grasped by God, by the enemy. And a lot of times we have that time appointed to, we do not have an understanding of what God has done. If you look at Revelation chapter 12 from verse 10, it said, "Then I heard a loud voice in the heaven say, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren and sisters, the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death, even when they were faced with death." Sorry, next verse. "For this reason, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come to you with great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." I'll just stop here. He said, "The devil has come to you, knowing that he also has a very short time." He has a very short time. He understands that the purpose of God is set within a time limit. And what is he doing? If you go on to the next verse, he said, "And when the dragon saw that he was thrown to the earth, he persecuted the woman, he gave birth who gave birth to the male child." If we jump to verse 17, please. 17, so that he said, "So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Here we're talking about the idea of time. So we understand now that we have a limited time appointed to us to be able to fulfill the purpose of God. The enemy also understands that he has a limited time to be able to thwart that same purpose that God has already placed and given to us. So we have two opposing things going on at the same time. We trying to do the will of God and step into the purpose of God, into the time and the seasons that God has already proposed for us. And then we have the deceiver also, who has a short time, who is specifically going after those who fear the Lord and keep his commandments. And this is where we need an understanding of the time. This is where we need to be on our own guard, where we need to awake from our slumber and from our sleep and stand firm in the light of what God is doing. Where we need to take our eyes off the things that are ephemeral, the things that would always pass away. Like I said, everything under the earth has a time for which it will pass away. Everything that we see would pass away. Every trend, every fashion trend, every house that's built, everything, every material thing, whether living or not living, every new car that you see today in the next 10, 20 years is not going to be there. it would pass away. The most beautiful cars 20, 30 years ago, they do not exist again. They are all scrap metal. So if you set your life and the time that God has given you to be able to chase the things that would pass away, and it would even pass away within your own lifetime, how wise or unwise would that be? Where the things are eternal, we neglect it and we seek the things that are ephemeral. And what the enemy is doing, knowing fully well that he has a very short time, the Bible makes us know that he's a deceiver, he's a tempter. He comes around to tempt us, to distract us from the purpose of God. And what it does is it puts our focus on the things that will pass away. So if you look at it, if your focus is on humans will pass away. If they occupy your mind, if that strife, if that bitterness, if that unforgiveness occupies you throughout your lifetime that God has already appointed for you, what would happen is you will end up missing out on the eternal. If material gain is what occupies you, if it's the desire for money, the ability to survive, the mammon, because mammon is not just you having millions and millions. Mammon is what shall I eat? What shall I wear? The basic things of life is mammon. If that occupies you, then what happens is you are exchanging the eternal for the things that would easily pass away. And one of the things that we talked about is that the fulfillment of our purpose is fixed within a time period that is known to God, is known only to God. And if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 7, there they were saying that he said to them, he said, it's not for you to know the times and the dates, to know the periods of time or the appointed times which the Father has set by his own authority. What you need instead is the understanding of the times, because what he told the disciples is that you will know the exact date, but when this and this and this are happening, pack your bags out of Jerusalem because the destruction is near. So what you need is an understanding of the times, and not to know exactly when that time is going to come in. Not to know how long God has made for you, how many years are you going to live on earth, but to have an understanding of the different seasons where you are in, and understanding what is that spiritual thing that God is trying to impute into you for each season of your life. You are not here by mistake or by chance. Every single one of us is not here by mistake. God has a specific plan and a purpose for us. We are here to fulfill a purpose of God. We are not just numbers. We are not just here to be a part of the 7 billion or the 8 billion, or to be a number on the HMRC slip, or to be a number on the NI on the NI forms. You are here to fulfill a specific purpose. Every single one of us is here to fulfill a purpose. But what the enemy does is to distract us with the things of life, to distract us with the things that don't matter, that at the time when we are meant to be doing the stuff that we need to do in that season, so that we can be ready for the season of our manifestation, we are not there doing it. And there we miss God and we become useless as vessels in the hands of God. Because, for example, if at the time where you are meant to occupy with what God has given to you for that season, you fail to occupy and there is grumbling and groaning and complaining instead, where we are all just focused on things that don't matter, what happens is that when the time of our manifestation will come, we won't have the things that are required to be able to manifest the glory of God. And that was what happened to the children of Israel. The Bible talked about the fact that they were delivered and they went to a place of wilderness. A place of wilderness was a season in their life on the pathway to where God has already promised them, which is the promised land. But in that place of wilderness, in that dark period, in that dark season, in that night season that you are faced with, in that wilderness season that you are faced with, there's something that you are meant to occupy with, and that's to follow God, to seek God, to know God, to know his ways. But the Israelites were filled with complaining and groaning and always wanting to go back, always looking back, always desiring to desert God. And what happened? At the time when they were meant to enter into the promised land, they did not have that spiritual capacity to be able to enter into the promised land. And the funny thing is, when you miss it at the season where you're meant to be rooted and to gain some things that God is cutting and pruning and getting you ready, when you get to the season of your manifestation, it is not by zeal that you enter into that season. The children of Israel, when Moses told them about what God said, they were like, oh, you know what? We are going to enter into that land. And Moses was like, no, you can't. You don't have what it takes to enter. God has already spoken. You will not be able to enter. You will die in the wilderness. They went on with zeal. And what happened? The Amorites in the land dealt with them seriously. And it's not by zeal. It's not by running. It's not by how fast you are and what you do. But it's all about what you're doing at each point in time. What is it that God has given you to occupy with? For some of us, God has just given you a little job to occupy with. For some of us, God has given you your home to occupy with. God has given you a small thing to do. It's insignificant, but God is saying, occupy with this till I come, because your season is coming and I'm taking you from where you are. But what are you doing in that wilderness season? In that season when it seems like as if things are little, when it seems like as if you've not really stepped fully into what God wants you to do. In that season where you are hidden away in the backside of the wilderness, what are you doing? Are you there complaining? Are you there never giving thanks? For some of us, we say we give thanks, but our actions never give thanks. Because if you are complaining about the people around you, but you go on and you raise up holy hands, you are not giving thanks. A sign of the thankfulness is a sign that you are appreciating what is going on around you. If you look at the children of Israel, they never for once talked against God. They were only grumbling against Moses. And that was recorded as grumbling against God. They did not directly go on to God to say, God, why did you bring us into this wilderness? I'm very sure that they will go on and worship God at the time when they should worship God. Every time when Moses is going on to talk to God, they would be there with reverence. But when they complained to Moses, Malachi 3:16 said that when those who feared the Lord, when they spoke to one another, the Lord heard them and he opened the book of remembrance concerning them. What are we saying in our own inner closets to one another? God takes note of that. God takes note of that. I would run a bit quickly here. Like I stated before, I said our time is limited. And once we have an understanding that our time is limited, the question is, how would you handle life? How would you run your race? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 says, I'll read it from Living Translation. I know they put on the NASB for us, but I'll just quickly read it. It said, I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong, and neither is bread to the wise, nor riches to those of intelligence and understanding, nor favor to man of ability. But time and chance overtake them all. But if you look at Living Translation, it says, but it is all by chance, by happening to be at the right place at the right time. Everything that you were born to do can be achieved in a specific time frame and in a specific place that God has ordained before time. So if God sent you to the people of Liverpool, God will make everything to work around for you to be in Liverpool at the time of your manifestation. And that makes me very worried here, because when I was thinking about the time, when they said there's a time for this, there's a time for that, I had this zeal in me, like, oh, let me just go on and do it. Let me just go on all out and just, let me just step, Let me just step into that which God has proposed for me to do. Let me just run into it. Let me just go with zeal so that I can fulfill the will of God. Let me just. But when I read Ecclesiastes 9:11, then I realized again that it is not about how fast I run. It is not about how much of knowledge I acquire. It is not, see, he said, it's not about the fastest runner, but everybody's running. But the difference is someone is running in a different way, is running with understanding. It's not just running fast. Because if I understand that what God wants me to do is at a specific place and at a specific time frame for me to be able to achieve the purpose of God, then I need to run with accuracy. I need to run not just fast and not outrun God, but I need to run according to the plan and the purpose of God. And if you look at that verse that we read before, where it talked about the awake, O sleeper, in Ephesians chapter 5, one key thing I said there is, after I talked about for you to understand making the most of your time, in verse 15, he said, therefore, be careful how you walk, as not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. And the next verse, he said, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Which makes me to understand that God told us to awake, come out of depression, because our light has come. And that was what we started with in verse 14. And then after you awake and you come out of depression, the next instruction that he gave is, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Do not walk as an unwise person. So, how I walk as a husband, as a father, as a worker, how I walk as the different things I am in this world, it's very, very important. Ephesians states all about our walk from Ephesians 4 to Ephesians 6:9. He talked about what a husband should do, a wife should do, a servant should do, a son, a daughter, what you need to do. He gave instructions as to how to walk. And when you obey this, and understand that is being done under the heaven, within the time frame that God has given to us. And then he now said something. He said that we should make the most of the time because the days are evil. And so that we will not be foolish, but we'll understand what the will of God is. And then he now told us that we should be filled with the Spirit, because it's with the help of that, of the Spirit of God, that we're able to do what we ought to do at the time when we ought to do it. Like I said to you, I said, the seasons don't wait for anyone. The seasons are always on the move. What you do with your season, it is at the next season that you will realize whether you have done that which you ought to have done. And sometimes a lot of us are delayed in the night season, in the wilderness season, because that spiritual quality that God wants us to develop, we fail to develop it. Instead of developing it, we fail to have understanding, and we are blaming every other person. We claim it is our enemy. We claim it is the devil. We claim it is a family member somewhere. We claim it is our bosses that hate us. That's why we've not been promoted. We lay the blame on any other person, every other person, rather than understanding why God is taking you through that season and what is God trying to impute into you for that season. And like I said, it is not about how fast you run. And for that, what would come to mind is, are you excusing those who are slothful? We're not considering those who are slothful here. Those who are slothful are just time wasters. Those who are slothful are people who don't have an understanding of God. Those who are lazy about the time and who won't stand up to do what God has proposed for them to do at the time and the season. Those ones are just wasting time. But we are talking about those who want to run with zeal. And a lot of times, some of us don't want to be time wasters, but we are outrunning God. We are outrunning the Spirit of God. And the Bible says the race is not for the swift. It is not about how fast you can run. It is not about where you are running to if you don't have an understanding of where you're going to. If you don't have an understanding of the purpose of God for you in that season, where are you running to? A lot of us are just jumping and moving and just doing all stuff, running after money, and not really following the purpose of God for our lives. And the question is, at the two ends of the scale, the time wasters who are lazy, who would not do anything with time, and those who are outrunning the Spirit of God, we need to find a balance and be led by the Spirit of God. For us to maximize time, for us to make use of that season where we are in currently, we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, not to run of our own effort, not to run by our own strength, not to just go about just doing the things that we want to do, prayerfully waiting on God to know what we ought to do, not lazing around. One key thing that was also in that Ephesians chapter 5, it said understanding the times, having an understanding of the times. If you look at 1 Chronicles 12, 32, it said of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200 and all of their king's men were at their command. The sons of Issachar, who had an understanding of the times. And God is calling men and women who would have an understanding of what they ought to do, have an understanding of the times and of the will of God for that season, have an understanding of God to know that a season has shifted. If you go back to the Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to give birth, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. It's the understanding that makes you to understand, to know when to plant. And here he didn't say when to harvest. He said when to uproot that which is planted. So there will be a season where you plant something. And that season is for planting. That is what God ordained for you to do in that season. But another season comes when what you planted the last season, God is ordaining that you uproot it at that season. That is the work for that season. And you have to do that work for that season. I wrote down in my notes here, let me just pull it out. I said, a man of understanding is not emotional, but is led by the Spirit. When it's time to heal, he knows when to heal. And when it's time to kill, he knows when to kill. When it's time to plant, he knows when it's time to tear down, he knows when to tear down. And when it's time to build up, he knows when to build up. He's not building up when he's meant to be tearing down, and tearing down when he's meant to be building up. And he's not emotionally attached to any of those things. He's attached solely to the Spirit of God. He goes based on understanding of the will of God for the season. If you look at the Israelites, they set their tents. And when they pitch their tents, they are settled for that period of time. And if the cloud arises, maybe they pitched it in the morning and the cloud rises again in the evening, they have to arise. Everything that they have put down, they have to remove it. I've got talked about Abraham, who left from a place where he had bricks and mortar homes and he dwelt in tents. He understood when he had to leave and when he had to pitch in tents. And it's very, very important. And this is the place where, wherever you are, I would just like you to just, before we continue this stuff, to just say a word of prayer. Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding that I may live, that I'm not keeping alive the things that should be dead in this season. The things from the previous season that I should have put to death. That I am not planting at the time when I should be pulling down. And I'm not pulling down at the time when I'm meant to be planting. That I'm not speaking at the time when I'm meant to keep silent. And I'm not silent at the time when I'm meant to be speaking. Lord, give me understanding. Help me to know my times and my seasons. That I may walk accurately Oh Lord, even in this season, just like the sons of Issachar, who understood what Israel ought to do at each season. Lord, give me understanding that I may know what I ought to do, what my family ought to do, what the church ought to do in each season, that I'm not walking out of season, but I'm in step with you at every part of my season. In Jesus' name. I'll just quickly take this last one. I mean, peradventure, someone is here and is saying, I know I made a mistake in my past seasons. I know I made a mistake totally. And I can see the effect of it in this season where I am. Oh, I failed to take care of my children in the right season. And now they are too old and I am struggling to build any relationship with them. Oh, I failed to build my home. I was tearing down when I was meant to be building up, and I was always speaking when I was meant to be silent. I've got good news for you. Because in Christ, the Bible says, therefore, because if you look at Daniel 2:20, baby, before I quote that, Daniel 2:20, to verse 22, Daniel was talking to the king. They said, may the name of the Lord be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to him. He said, he changes, verse 21, it is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he appoints kings. That means even if the season may have gone upside down and it appears like as if the planting season, you have missed it, and now it's the harvest season and everyone is harvesting and you have nothing to harvest. Maybe at the planting season of your life, you were asleep. You did not know Christ. You had not encountered him. The Bible makes me to understand that therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. He said, all things are passed away. He said, all things have become new. If you read Psalm 31 from verse 14 to 15, he said, but I trust in you, Lord, you alone as my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me, O Lord, from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. In Christ, when we step into Christ, and here I'm not just talking about people who come to church. I'm talking about people who say, Lord, I have made a mess of my time. I have lost some years behind. But they want to step fully into Christ. When we are in Christ, we lay hold of something that is greater than times and seasons that we are faced with under the heavens. What we do when we enter into Christ is we enter and we attain eternal life. An eternal life, when eternal life is working in you, is turning things around. And I'm not talking about those who are just watching and just watching. They just come to church. I'm talking about those who sincerely desire from God a change in their season, a turnaround, who are crying out and saying, Lord, I missed my season. I came late to this show. Lord, by the time I got here, by the time I could even get myself, my children have grown up, I've lost them. Lord, before I could do this, I've lost my home. I've lost my purpose. I've missed my steps. But in Christ, when you fully step into Christ, you are not missing anything. When you fully step into Christ, you are entering into eternal life. That is time that is endless. God himself can restore the times and the seasons and the years that the cankerworm has eaten. But it's only in Christ. And even as we take the communion today, as Uncle Ezepe comes up and we take the communion, I want you to have a cry for mercy. Because it's the mercy of God that turns around the times and the seasons. is the mercy of God that brings about a change in our situations. Is the mercy of God that turns things around. Oh Lord, we pray for your mercy today. For anyone who is saying, Lord, I have slept, I think I've overslept, and I am awakening at a season that seems like as if there's little or nothing that I can do. Oh Lord, we are praying for your mercy. You said we should come boldly into your presence, to your throne of mercy, to obtain grace and mercy for the time of need. Lord, we have come in, Lord, for this time of need. Lord, we have come to attain that mercy, that favor. Lord, that favor that does not make us to outrun that which you are doing, that we are not running past and faster than what you are doing in this season. And that favor that does not allow us to be slower than what you're doing in this season. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone who is here. Father, Lord, who may be screaming and just asking for help for this season. Who may be saying, Lord, I missed that season. Lord, help me. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you will help each and every one of us, oh Lord. That you will restore back unto us, oh Lord, the years that the canker worm has eaten. The years where we have made mistakes, where we have failed to plant at the time when we are meant to plant, that we have failed to build at the time when we are meant to build, that we have failed, Lord, to keep silent at the time when we are meant to be silent, at the times when we fail to speak when we are meant to speak. Lord, help us. Give us an understanding of the times going forward. Lord, even as we have the communion today, Lord, impart your life to us, O Lord. In the name of Jesus.